Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
Tonight's praise and worship is brought to you by Tony Mason. Find out more about his ministry at www.tonymasonmusic1.com. That's www.tonymasonmusic1.com.
Surrender to him tonight. Lift your hands right now. Listen.
Everything I am or ever hope to be, I lay it down. I lay it at your feet. Every desire, the way I feel inside, I lay it aside. Yeah, I want
to be
a better child to you. Walk in your way. Do what you want me to, Lord, I'm willing to make the sacrifice to live for you. For I surrender.
Come on.
I surrender. I surrender. I surrender.
Oh, sing it one more time. Tell him.
Say, I surrender.
His name. Come on, put your hands together and bless God in this place. Woo! Are you totally surrendered tonight? If you're totally surrendered to Him, get up on your feet right now and just begin to bless Him. Come on.
New Testament, even going all the way back to Moses, signs and wonders began with the apostles. Now, Moses is a type of Old Testament apostle. He exercised a whole lot of signs, some of which we still don't know about. You know, we talk about the 10 plagues like Moses didn't do all that other stuff in the wilderness. Because God has to have a vessel who believes Him enough to let Him be God and do God. Mm-hmm. God has to have a vessel who realizes that God's purpose for acting in the earth is for His own dominion and His own glory. Now, just for a quick class, when you think about a pastor, pastor's concerned about you in the house. Keeping you in the house, keeping you in the church, making you happy, causing you to grow in the church. That's wonderful. We need pastors. Say, we need pastors. Yeah. We need pastors. Pastors' authority extends to their houses. You will never see in the scripture that a pastor has had governmental authority over the kingdom. Doesn't happen. Some people need to be with pastors because they're homebodies. They like that domestic environment. They like that family tree thing. All right? Teachers are about the classroom. Now, you know how many hours you want to spend in school, right? Hallelujah. I guess I say no more of that. So they're about you being educationally ready. Yes. They're about you having intelligence and presenting the intelligence of the Godhead. Okay. Teachers, yeah. They instruct you in the intelligence of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Trinity, if y'all, for those of you who like that word. So that's where a teacher is. Teachers, hot about you understanding God, A, B, and systematically. See, teachers are going to give you that systematic A, B, C, D, E, F, G. God even said it in Isaiah. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. They're going to give it to you in measured doses according to how you can take it. So teachers, we need those. Need those in the body. Yes. Now, teachers do happen to be the least of the governmental structure of God's kingdom. You got a teaching ministry, God bless you. But you have to find out what arm of the teaching ministry you have. Now, the evangelists are your field hands. They're your field laborers. They're out there harvesting the world. All of us know evangelists, somebody who told us about Jesus. Evangelists do not care how long you stay saved because that's not their job. It's the pastor's job to care about how long you stay saved. It's the evangelist's job to get you saved. The evangelist does not care how much you know about God as long as you know the prayer of faith, the prayer of your salvation and how to repent. That's the evangelist. They're very interested in you understanding how to repent, how to get in the kingdom, how to get out of hell. They are your get out of hell club. They're the crew that's going to get you out of hell. Now, they don't have the power to keep you out of hell. That's your power, and that's where you come under your pastor and you come under your teacher. Hallelujah. Now, the prophet is very much interested in the vision of God. The prophet is going to be interested in the communications of God. What is God communicating so that you can become acclimated to the kingdom? So the prophet is going to reveal God's sights to you. What God sees, what God wants to see, how God sees what you're doing, how you wish He didn't see it. Hallelujah. Okay. Prophets are about the systemic as opposed to the systematic. Prophets are about how you got that way. Prophets are about what's keeping you that way. Mm-hmm. And prophets are about God's mind on how to take care of you. Glory to God. Prophets are always about the kingdom. They are kingdom visionaries. Now, here's the thing that we don't know. Most of us don't know, so you can understand why the power of signs and wonders rests with apostles. Is this all right? Because some of y'all have people asking you questions. You can't answer the questions. Amen. Hallelujah. See, God's a God of order. Say, He's a God of order. I mean, you like order everywhere but in church. And you only want a little bit of disorder there. You want the disorder you want to cause. Because you want everybody else to be in order. Because you came to learn. You came to get some Jesus. Hallelujah. What a gracious God. The apostle is about the literal throne. The throne of the kingdom. The apostle is about the king. Specifically. Not just a public servant to the kingdom. The prophet is a private, I mean the apostle rather, private attendant to the king. The apostle cares about what on the king's mind. How the king is being treated out there in the worlds that he's conquered. How the people our understanding. Who are the king's enemies? See, that's why when you hear, when you get apostles, you got to hear about devils. That's their job. Because they know the devils are the king's enemies. And I got, you know what, like every time I go to that church, they talk about devils. Baby, not, we the only people that's mentioning it. Everybody else is there living with them. They got a peace treaty, a peace pact with devils. You got a peace pact. You don't bother me, Satan, and I won't bother you. Oh, you know, you want to hear people say that I don't do so-and-so because it's going to stir the devil up against me. No, baby, it's sad that he got to be stirred up against you. It ought to bother you that he has to remember that you were a problem. That's pretty sad. My thoughts. Oh, glory to the king. Y'all all right with this? See, but the apostle is about the literal throne. When you watch those Queen Elizabeth movies and all of that, the apostle was always the one who protected the throne. They're the ones that the queen was sent out as stealth warriors. They go out and take care of things and come back. Anything that threatens the throne. Because without a throne, you're a democracy. You are population controlled and community ruled. So the apostle is the one that's going to protect the throne of Jesus Christ. They are concerned about him always being manifested as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In an apostles' church, you're going to have amazing worship because that exalts the throne. You're going to have order because they know that the enemy is using sleeper vessels to overthrow the king's throne. The apostle is going to keep talking. See, that's what we missed with the apostles of the day. They start talking about the kingdom and ignore the king. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Yes. If you're an apostle, you are deep, up close, and personal with the king. Not just an agent of the kingdom. So the apostle is going to tell you how the throne wants to be worshipped. How the throne wants to be served. How the throne wants to order the kingdom. How the throne wants to enforce life. How the throne wants to enforce righteousness. Oh, somebody flowing with me. See, so the next time you watch those movies, you look for who is around the throne because the one the throne sends out to take care of business and doesn't tell anybody else. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Is this helping you all? Yeah. See, the apostle is about persona. If you look at, when you study all of those kinds of synonyms for it, they're always telling you about the king's person. Gabriel said, I stand before the very throne of God, the presence of God. Gabriel said, I am a throne agent. I'm here to represent the literal throne. I'm not telling you about the Ten Commandments written in your book. I'm telling you about the fresh word of God that he just said. Because God has told me what's on his mind. You can't have apostles having 45 different ways of doing this thing. Because that means some of them haven't been to the king. They may be called from the kingdom, but they have not yet made their way to the throne. And it's the throne that changes you into what you need to be. And the apostle comes back from the throne and taps the prophet and says, this is what the throne wants now. This is what the throne is doing now. This is where the throne is going now. Because this is a throne thing. See, as long as you ignore the apostle, you will never understand the theocracy of God. You don't even understand why we are a theocracy and how to uphold that theocracy in the democratic and every other governmental streams and momentums of the world. So then the prophet now hears from the apostle where God is going, and the prophet gets the revelation, and he or she begins to disseminate that revelation to the evangelists who say, I'm going out to get them now, and I got it. I got how you're going to do it. He disseminates it to the pastor by saying, how we're going to keep them in the church. Direction the church is going now.
Okay.
The prophet and the apostle will disseminate it to the teacher so that that revelation takes on the systematic form of education. Every new revelation should have a systematic form to educate and disciple. See, it's not as confusing as we thought it was. Now, if you're under an apostle, you now know that your church is a throne church. If you're under a prophet, then you know your church is a revelatory church. If you're under an evangelist, you now know your church is a soul-winning church. Somebody hear me? And if you're under a pastor, then you know your church is now a domestic or household church. And if you're under a teacher, your church is an academic institution. If you run an apostle, you're going to have pretty much all of them working in tandem. Because it begins with the apostle. We can tell you apostleship is a lot of things. I spent from 1989 until today studying it, reading hundreds of books, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of paper for me to come up with that little thing, the apostle is about the throne. Hallelujah. Isn't that just like God makes you claw and get it all, right? So when you start thinking about why there's more power and authority in an apostle, it makes more sense now, because they are direct throne dispatchers, directly from the throne and back to the throne. And they answer to nobody, because they usually are dispatched because the existing institution is not operating the way it originally was supposed to. So he can't use the existing institution, because the existing institution has already said, we're not going to listen to the throne. We're overthrowing the throne. We're ignoring the throne. We're taking all governmental power and authority from the throne, and we're giving it to the kingdom or the country or the people. The throne now becomes a figurehead, stripped of its power. Throne has no power. God no longer has the right to tell you what to do. God has no right to move you where he wants to move you, place you where he wants to place you, sit you where he wants to sit you, bless you how he wants to bless you. He no longer has a say, because now you're just dealing with the agents of the kingdom, your elected official. That's where we are today. So God has been trying for the last 25 years to let us remember about the throne. Now let me tell you how slick God is, because you know God's a slickster, right? Because God is like, y'all not beating me. You all are not going to rule this thing. I know how much you feel like rulers, but you're not ruling this. So for the last 10 years, all of the movies in the genre have been pointed toward what? Kingship. Everybody got it but the church. The church is the only one that doesn't know that the king is moving. And they're restoring and installing through their media all the other ancient kings. And God is letting them do so. Because he said, when my nation of kings and priests get it, he said, they will dwarf every kingdom that's here. So they have to make kings. You were born again as a king, as a queen, as a prince, as a priest. We forget that the church is a nation of what? Kings and priests. We forget that. We're so busy being lowly saints, humble servants, meek but weak. We got more weak pills going on than the meek pills. Because we forgot who we are. And so they are taking this thing because they have ignored the fact that it's about kings and priests. He only said that to the apostles, to the ones he sent from the throne. To Moses, he said, you will be a nation of kings and priests unto me. We don't see it again until we get down to Peter, who said, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Oh, somebody hear what I'm saying. And John, he has made us kings and priests unto our God. We don't want to talk about that because people are afraid y'all to get haughty. I could take haughty as long as you're holy. Be holy, haughty. So God is moving according to his pattern, even though we are oblivious to it. God is establishing us in high places, even though we are oblivious to it, even though we don't know what to do when we get there. Because our understanding of a king is somebody who bosses folk around. How many of you know kings got to fight to get on the throne? You don't get there without a fight. And then every country, all the other kingdoms around want you off that throne. And then your subjects don't like what you do because they all think they can do it better. Your kids think they can do it better than you. Because, see, they got computers. See, because they have computers, because sin can travel faster, they think they're better at controlling it. Because the internet still got the same stuff on it. We walk with the charlatans and a horse. Astrology, magic, witchcraft, pornography, fornication, Same thing, it's just not pedestrian. It's now cyber. Hadn't changed. And if you let, that's why kids won't listen to us, because they think that it's different. So you have to show them that the programs that they like in the internet have the same little devil names in God's Bible. You hit Ishtar, you're going to get all kinds of software. They got a problem in a thing in a computer about the black priest and all that kind. They got them all written in there. All of them are written in there. Same thing. It's just hooking on wires now instead of human energy. But when it's all said and done, people still do the same things when they get that information in their world. It is only in a world where demonics and paganism and witchcraft and idolatry and polytheism and polygamy prevail that God will tell you, I've got to send somebody from the throne to fix this. Because he's already been speaking to the established officials, and they ain't interested. They're not hearing. They are not interested because they have a vested interest in keeping the status quo. Some of you all won't grow up in God because you have a vested interest in keeping the status quo. Multiply yourself times 6.5 billion times. You can understand God's issues. See, because you think you care about God's business, you don't. You care about your benefits and your rights in the kingdom. The apostle cares about the throne. The prophet cares about the kingdom and the king. All the other ministers are about the people. Every rest of them are all about the people. And that is why when you silence those two officers, you get Laodicea. The people rule. You know, democracy didn't start with when we voted it in. It was back there with Laodicea. Laodicea, people, Dicea, rule. You know, when you think about that, see, the problem is if you don't get the knowledge, you can't really defend what you believe in. You believe this stuff. You believe in God. My God, y'all love the man. I can do anything for the Lord. What do you want me to do, God? And then God starts talking like, God, oh, what you say? It's too deep for me. I'm so confused. Lord, talk English. God said, I'm already at A equals A. How far do you want me to go? Sign language? So when you talk about God's kingdom intelligence, the first thing you need to know is that a bona fide Christian who has been with Jesus is intelligent. That's how come you know much of the church hasn't passed by him recently. They don't have a clue about what he's doing. You understand that we are enjoying our life in the kingdom, and that's good. We are enjoying it, just like the Americans that let the country turn into what it is did that to enjoy their rights and privileges. But they were not defending the country. They were not protecting the country. They didn't demand their elected officials to really clear with them what they were voting in. That's what we are. We're doing the same thing with the kingdom. There are things that we're allowing in the church and endorsing in the church that we didn't think would play out the way they are. So God is raising us up. Now, in order for God to get our attention, he must have signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. When he sent Moses with mighty deeds. When he sent Jesus with mighty deeds. When he sent Paul, the Bible says in Acts, I believe it's Acts 14, that God wrought unusual miracles. Unusual. That means that they are not the everyday kind of get your toe, grow a nail. They went beyond eyes and limbs, man. God worked some amazing powers in him. Peter wrought amazing miracles by Peter. Peter's shadow. Can you imagine just sitting up in the window and having people sit outside get healed just from the shadow? When the sun's just cast it right the right way? Wow. Man, you don't even have to go out and lay hands. Don't have to sweat.
Hi. This is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
So God is raising us up. Now, in order for God to get our attention, he must have signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. When he sent Moses with mighty deeds. When he sent Jesus with mighty deeds. When he sent Paul, the Bible says in Acts, I believe it's Acts 14, that God wrought unusual miracles. Unusual. That means that they are not the everyday kind of get your toe, grow a nail. They went beyond eyes and limbs, man. God worked some amazing powers in him. Peter wrought amazing miracles by Peter. Peter's shadow. Can you imagine just sitting up in the window and having people sit outside get healed just from the shadow? When the sun's just cast it right the right way? Wow. Man, you don't even have to go out and lay hands, don't have to sweat. I can deal with that anointing. Hey, I could work that. Now, why does God need signs, wonders, and mighty deeds? We already know why he has to start with apostles. We do know that, right? Start with the throne. Got to cover the throne. Got to what? Work your way down. The kingdom officials are not hearing. The current kingdom officials are not hearing. They're not interested in what God wants to do. They're interested in the status quo because all along they have been acquiring for themselves. So they're not interested in doing that. You think about how many times you've heard your pastors or leaders say, we're not doing that here because. They didn't say, we checked it out, I sought God, me and God talked, fasted and prayed and researched scriptures. They never say that. They just said, we're not doing that here. You don't know whether it should have been done there. You don't know whether they're speaking for God or if they're speaking for themselves. And most of y'all sitting up there don't care. He's the pastor, so what do I know? He's taking care of his business, I'm taking care of mine. No, his business is yours. Just like those elected officials' business is your business. They're not there for their business. They die to themselves to take on your interests. Or at least in an ideal way. So in 2 Corinthians 12:12, it said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now many times we think that it's all about growing toes and getting gold teeth and sprinkling gold dust and first of all, I'm told God, don't send me a piece of gold dust. I don't want no dust. I'm going to need you to send me a rock. I don't need God to do magic tricks. Whenever God works a miracle, whenever he works a sign, whenever he exercises his might, you are to walk away with something concrete, tangible, and worthwhile. It's worth to God. God has to give you something that's going to change the total economic state of your existence. We have been so happy with entertainment, we did not know that we had the magi up there working tricks. Pharaoh's magicians working tricks. They got all the way up to what before they couldn't do it again? The fourth plague. They were able to do the snake real good. Wasn't that nice? Did the frogs? Frogs were easy. Wasn't that nice? Couldn't get rid of them, but hey. I mean, God. It took God to get rid of the snakes. He had to eat them. Okay? And so God wants you to understand that when he starts moving, no one could replicate that. The things that God's going to do now, science can't replicate. Science can't even explain. What God is about to release in his signs and wonders and mighty deeds and the power he's about to put into his people, you can't explain that. God has people in the planet right now who are, amazing in God. They've been in the cave and they've been working things like you wouldn't believe. But I don't know if I believe that David was working miracles with the sheep. While he was out there tending them little flocks, he was working power miracles. David said, I killed what? A lion and a she-bear. He said, and opened their mouth and delivered my lamb. Open their mouth. Now, most of us don't even want to look in a lion's mouth. David is a kid. He go there, he opened up his mouth, broke his jaw and said, give me my stuff. David, turn around with the bear. Now, I've been watching the Discovery Channel and the bears on Discovery Channel, and she bears pretty rough. Okay, she bear, she the bad bear. And David said, I killed the she bear. So by the time he got to Goliath, he was like, this is cake. See, God has a lot of people in the kingdom right now who have been going through that underground training program where they're faced off with their fears, have faced off with the enemy, and they look him in the face and won't blink. So David had to do that because God had to get all fear out of him. And then God's funny. He raised him up to get all the fear out and then turn around and make him scared for almost 20 years. My God, you got a sense of humor. Keep that. So Some of you all, God has made you live things that don't make sense, that have put you through things that don't make sense. Why? So that when you face off at your one opportunity to prove why you're the one. I don't know about you, but I think that's a good piece of wisdom. See, everything you've gone through is so that you can stand in the face of the giants of the land and prove why you are the chosen one. Why you are the anointed king. Why you are the high priest. David walked in all of that. And he said, God, he said, oh man, David was so funny. He cracked me up. You're going to get a sense of God's character in David. That's why he keeps talking about David, because if you want to know Jesus' character, study David. Because that's who he patterned him after. So David said, who are you all? What are y'all doing in the king? What's wrong with y'all? Y'all the king. Matter of fact, where is the king? King Hino hovered up under the corner there. He said, y'all are letting this uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God. Did y'all ever know him? I mean, did you ever know him? Okay? Because he had a track record of defending the defenseless, of defying the odds, and of destroying God's enemies. See, David understood something that most people in leadership today have yet to learn. David understood that he exists to protect God's interests. And that's what royalty does. They protect the interests of the deity that put them in power. Why signs? Signs displaying miraculous powers accompany the faith of believers, according to Mark 16:17. God has got to use signs because people cannot see his hand move any other way. People do not understand how God thinks until they see what God has done. In every case where the Lord employs or exhibits them signs, they characterize a particular dispensation of the Holy Spirit, which is what they are to do in the first place. You have to recognize that God is pulling sovereign rank when he moves in a sign, when he moves in a miracle. He is sovereignly exercising his creator authority. We want to exercise God's authority without him. We want to exercise and move God's power like it's the electric company. We want to pay the bill and just plug up what we want to it. We want to listen to what we want to do with the electric company. Electric company could care less whether you watch the gospel or a porn flick. All they want you to do is pay them. God's power does not work like that. God's like, if you're going to tap into my power as my representative, people better walk away with me on their mind. I want to say that again. If you are going to tap into God's power, somebody know what I'm talking about? Yes. And you're going to do so as his representative, whoever you touch better walk away with Jesus on their mind. Yes. If they walk away thinking you the great I am, you are a flop. Yes. Peter and John worked the miracle. They said, wait a minute, hold it, guys. Don't be looking at us like we had something. We didn't have anything. You better thank Jesus. Because he empowered us to do that. How miracles equate to signs. So you have to understand why you do this thing. If you don't understand why you do it, the minute the wind blows, you're out. Right? As soon as the wind blows, you're out. You're like, nah. 1 Corinthians 12:28-29, 27, beginning there. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now you're the body of Christ, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, after that miracles, after that miracles, after that miracles, because we don't realize that that is an official position in the church. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now here's where we're going to end on this one here, because I want to point out, are all apostles? No. I know today you probably think that's true. But in God's mind, no. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? I want to concentrate on, are all workers of miracles? Many of us read that as works of miracles. You're not a miracle work. There is an official function that follows the teacher, the position of the miracle worker. And God expects them to be in the church. God expects miracle workers to be in the church. God expects that there are certain people that so understand his laws and so understand his powers and his sciences that he will allow them to work his miracles in his name. Now, there's a level that all saints are on, but then there's a level that all saints care about God and all saints can bring a word and prophesy. We're talking about in a position of, there is an official position. I'm praying for God to show it because that's the position that has yet to be restored to the body, the miracle worker. Now, the apostle embodies all of these things, all of 12, 28, and 29, the apostle embodies because, well, they're supposed to start out the work. To receive the message, to bring the new message from the throne, to bring the new move of God and the way God is moving from the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. However, after the apostle has done their work, we ought to identify all of those people to come out of us. Some of you people are going through hardship because you're actual miracle workers and you don't want to learn about it. And people don't teach it. They don't teach it. But yet, in the Bible, God's Bible is full of miracles. We got Elijah, who was a handful of miracles. We got Elisha, who doubled up on those. Although they say doubled up, I think that that's not what the scripture reads. When I read it, I read that it was like he wanted a double portion, but that doesn't mean he performed the same, because you just assume that he performed only what's recorded. It didn't record that Elisha rained down fire on people. But Elijah did. You know, Elijah stood up there on the mountain. Can you imagine the police officers go to arrest somebody and every time they walk there, fire comes out and eat them up? SWAT team outside, here come the fire. So eventually the third guy goes and he said, now listen, I got a problem. Let my life be precious to you, please. Now that's a weird statement till you understand that this man was in a no-win situation. If he went back without Elijah, he's a dead man. If he went and bothered Elijah, he's a dead man. It was like, I can't win. So he said, would you let my life be precious to you? He had to intercede with God's power because he's supposed to arrest him. See, a lot of us didn't realize that he was supposed to arrest the prophet. And the prophet was empowered to stay out of jail. Talk about a get out of jail free card. So the captain goes and he said, now listen, you done killed 100 people with fire. We have sent you two contingents of 50 men to arrest you. And you have killed them with fire. Would you please let my life be precious? Can we talk about this? I gotta take you back or I gotta die. Now I'm not interested in dying and you're not interested in going back. How are we gonna work this out? Because God is like, no, you're going to learn to intercede with me. And you're going to learn to negotiate. That's the move of God we're going to see. Folk are going to be interceding and begging God and negotiating with God. And I'm talking about high powers are going to negotiate with him. And they're going to work out deals and have to live by them. Because God is a God of power. See, you all don't know great people. If you don't know great people, you don't know the power of great people. You don't know the folk who understand that their word moves certain amount of things. And yet God's word and the word of his son moves it all. And he made you a member of that family. There's not a family on the planet greater than the family of God. I don't care how you think it. You're like, well, yeah, but see, we're not. Nope, that's because the leaders aren't taking their position. Because God wasn't playing miracles when he did it. He wasn't playing miracles. He wasn't playing favors. He was like, whoever will. A sign is a mark to indicate or signify something otherwise unknown, impossible, or improbable. Okay, a sign is a signature. It's not the thing. It's the sample of the thing. It's the sample of the thing. For example, you get a prophecy and God said you're going to be healed in 3 days. And then God will give you a sign. He'll give you something that's relating to your healing. Something tangible. and concrete related to your healing for you to hold on to know that he's doing it. When God said about the Virgin Mary, when he said, there's going to come a time I'm taking over the world, he said, listen, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. Now, God didn't care that the world didn't know. He was interested in the prophets knowing. See, a lot of that stuff God wrote, he wrote for the prophets. He didn't care about the world powers knowing or agreeing or believing with him. He just needed his agents to know that he said it, and he did it. So he wrote it down in the Bible for Isaiah, through Isaiah, so that later on down the road, when folks start talking about this strange kid that was going to be born, they would know that is the Messiah. And it was only the prophets who could confirm that God did what he said he was going to do. No other person could do that because they were not in a legitimate place to say it. So God did the impossible, the unknown, and the improbable. And he brought Jesus into the world. It was a prophet that said God is going to do this or that to them. Now, Exodus 4, 30 and 31, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Now, the signs convinced them that it was really God. The signs convinced them. Now, the signs had to be more impressive than the magic, because if God is going to do a sign that the magicians can do, that's not, nobody's going to know that's God. God has got to do unusual things. Some of you all need God to do unusual things. Some of you need God to break the seal on the impossible, to make known to you the ordinarily unknowable, to perform for you the improbable. And it's okay to pray for signs. It's okay to ask God for a sign. See, God got mad with those people who asked for a sign, because you know, everyday people didn't ask for a sign. Everyday people did not ask Jesus for a sign. They were believing. It was the rulers and the authority figures that said, show us a sign. And they were defying him. They weren't asking to be convinced. Everyday people were convinced. It was the rulers. When you read your scriptures, you're going to read things in the context in which it was written. So it's okay for you to say, God, I need some signs right now. It's looking real bleak. It's looking really scary right now. I am very afraid. It looks dark for me right now. God, I look like I have lost. God, it looks like you're not with me. It looks like the devil has me in a vice grip. God, I need some signs that you will do what you said you're going to do. And if God gives you a word, you ask him, he will give you a sign. Especially in this era and in this generation, he will give you a sign. If God says, I'm going to heal you, all of a sudden you're going to get things that have that word coming out of your ears. If he says, I'm going to deliver you, you can't escape it. God will talk to you about it every day. People will say it. Prophets will tell it. Folk will pray it. It'll be all around you. See, the problem is that we don't stay together any longer. So we can't hear whether God's going to do it or not. We come to church, get the word, kiss and flee. We got to go. We don't fellowship with the saints because we don't want to be too spiritual. Yet you want God, the spirit, who is spirit, to deal with your issues. I think you need to be spiritual to get spiritual. I want you to realize that God wants you all to begin to build your faith in his abilities again. It's okay to ask for signs, and it's okay to ask for miracles, and it's okay to want to live in the miraculous. While God is not looking to have to do feeble miracles for you every day, he does intend to use increasingly or perform increasingly complex miracles for you every day. Got you a house, now I'm going to get you something else for the kingdom, for his glory, for the purposes for which he has put you on the planet and raised you up. So I prophesy to you tonight, God is moving you into a whole new dimension of his signs and his wonders and his miracles. And the more the apostles align themselves with the throne, the more they're going to find out that that same power that Paul and Peter and Jesus and all the other apostles were privy to is a part of their commission. We don't see it because they preached that it wasn't so for now. That's why we got workplace apostles, and we got backroom apostles, and we got stand on your head apostles, and we got father apostles, and governor apostles. But see, we don't have the throne apostles. We need the throne apostles to come forth, because they're the ones that's going to bring the power. They're the ones that are going to bring the signs and wonders. They're the apostles who are not going to just say, God, it's nice that you're here with me, but, I mean, half of these apostles barely pray for people. All right, you barely see them pray for people. So they don't know if they have the power or not. They don't try. You have to work it. And sometimes it works a little here and a little there, but eventually it will work. Father, thank you.
Are you looking for more of what you just heard? Check us out online at www.drpaulaprice.com. We have a host of products, resources, and special services for those looking to fulfill God's purpose on their lives. You can stop by our online bookstore. Take a personalized.
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.